Happy Friday. It's Friday, April 11th. No Pine Tar in the podcast room, but we have a lot of baseball to talk about. Adam Major, Scott White, Al Melchior. What's up, people?
Need Pine Tar because sometimes these notes,
I know, right?
They can fly away from
you. Yeah, it's tough. Scott, what's going on?
Are we playing in a wind tunnel? Are we doing this in a wind tunnel? Why would they fly away from you?
You just don't want to take the risk.
You never know. Scott. That's right. You could lose a page. You'd be totally. I get totally thrown off having all the pages.
Yeah, so. Sometimes we're like, I don't even know where he is in the notes. Yeah. That happens. All right, we got to talk about Michael Pineda, Jim Johnson, Jose Abreu hit two more home runs. We got your emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSi.com. We didn't do buy or sell yesterday, so we'll do it today. Watch our video show. Today we'll have John Heyman on to talk more about the Pineda thing. That's at noon Eastern time. He comes on for our first segment. If you miss it, you can always catch the show on demand, but we take your phone calls. We have some fun. And, oh, it's Argument Friday, so a Player Debate Friday, which I'm hoping turns into Argument Friday.
Yeah, so kind of getting ahead of yourself there.
I will make Scott now get into some debates.
You make us mad.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a happy Friday, Adam.
Well,
why
it's the end of the show,
to us?
So I feel like we could, you know, save the anger. But, all right, anyway, let's get to today's podcast here. I'm going to run with the poll question.
Uh-oh.
Even though it kind of was a dud yesterday, I don't know if it's going to work, but I thought it would be fun, so we'll try it a few more times. Today's Twitter podcast poll question, Major League or Rudy? Al said, what'd you say, Al?
I said, it's no contest, and then admitted I've never seen Rudy.
Yeah, and then Scott said,
yeah, I've never seen Rudy either.
And then I said in my head, what the hell is wrong with these people? Because that movie's amazing. But we'll
good
see.
Music
what the,
in Rudy.
You actually kind of said
good
it out
music.
Loud.
Did I say that?
We implied it.
Matt Moore, torn UCL, could elect for rehab over Tommy John surgery. If he rehabs, he could miss a minimum of a month. Should we drop Matt Moore, though?
I wouldn't just yet.
I think I probably would. Torn UCL. I mean,
I'd probably be in too careful because I honestly don't expect much, but just for that slight chance that he comes back and he carries through it.
Here's because you got Brandon Morrow plucked from you in a couple leagues yesterday, and you were disappointed. One league, and you were disappointed because he's a two-star pitcher you like this upcoming week. I mean, if it's the difference between dropping Matt Moore and somebody who you think actually contribute to get Morrow,
you're pouring me the truth serum here.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you could potentially DL him, obviously. Matt Moore.
He hasn't been yet.
Placed
on the DL?
No, not yet.
So if I had to, and I'd have to make a decision now. I could say I could wait till the weekend, but, you know, Morrow would be gone most likely. So obviously I would look for another option first, but if I don't want to drop anybody else, you're right. I would drop Moore.
And Michael Morse was the guy I was picking up this morning. When I usually wait until the weekend to make my ad drop, so I would do the same for Michael Morse. Drop Matt Moore.
Anything in particular about Michael Morse, or just he's off to a good start and he's Michael Morse? Got power.
He's off to a good start and he's Michael Morse. He doesn't just have power. I mean, he was a 300 hitting 30 homer guy just, what was it, 3 years ago? And then obviously injuries the 2 years in between, although the first of that two was pretty good. I'm not, other than the park issue, which is really more of a theory than, a known issue for him, there's not really much reason to say, okay, he's not going to be that player again.
Jim Johnson out of the closer's role for now. Ryan Cook pitched in the eighth yesterday in a 6-1 game. I don't know what that means, but
I think what that means is just that he's not going to be the exclusive closer. I mean, that seems like a pretty strong signal, but we sort of knew that anyway. So,
yeah. So who's the guy to get? I picked up Gregerson.
So I'd pick up. I really feel like they have such a good deep bullpen, and there's going to be four or five guys in this committee that you might as well just, roll a die.
Yeah,
because it's die, right? And that dice is which is it?
Dice is one.
Is one. So you roll the dice.
Yeah, you roll the dice.
Yeah.
If you want to roll multiple, you roll the dice.
Well, if you think that the entire bullpen is going to be in the committee, then you would need the second die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Unless it was like an eight-sided die.
Yeah.
Dice.
But ultimately, I think it will be a committee because unless there's something physically wrong with Johnson, he'll pitch the sixth inning or whatever a couple times and look fine, and they'll put him back in the role because I think he's really the only one they have who could handle the role long term.
Why do you say that?
Because Gregerson in previous opportunities has bombed. Ryan Cook didn't last long in the closer role. Sean Doolittle, I mean, I guess the jury's still out, but I think they'd prefer to keep the lefty as a setup possibility. And Jim Johnson, I mean, back-to-back 50-save seasons, they're paying him $10 million a year. Well, they're paying him $10 million this year. He's ultimately who they want closing.
So let's talk about yesterday's standouts, the good and the bad, and then we'll get into the buy or sell. I have a section here of players who are owned in 25% of leagues or less, except for Ozuna, so 28% of leagues or less. And do they have mixed league potential, or are they just kind of deeper league guys? We'll talk about that. So let's get to it. What stood out to you yesterday? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I want to talk about Michael Pineda, but I know that we're going to.
No, this is the time.
This is the time.
This
so
is the place.
Yeah.
This is
time,
your show.
Here in the wind tunnel. Speak.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm thinking that I might do a column. I think I was wrong about blank.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Morse would be included in that column, but so would Pineda. And I was more down on Morse, but I was just sort of merely kind of mild on Michael Pineda when I feel like maybe my better instincts would have told me to be more aggressive about going after him in drafts. I don't think I got him in a single league, including the mocks. And, I mean, it looks like we've got the Mariners rookie version of Pineda back, and that's a guy who might be your number three starter.
But he cheated.
Allegedly.
Oh,
only allegedly.
On. He absolutely cheated.
He used dirt.
It was not dirt. Did you see the pictures?
Well, no.
Oh, my gosh. Definitely not dirt. Everybody knows it. But, you know, you use pine tar when it's cold. I guess that's what I'm gathering from what I've been hearing and what I'm reading. Pitchers do it all the time, so they have more of a grip on the ball. Just pitchers aren't as blatant about it as Michael Pineda. So I don't think it's a huge deal or anything like that. But he looks great. And here's the line from yesterday. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, 5 strikeouts in his first start. So Michael Pineda, top 30 pitcher. How surprised would you be if that happens?
All right. I just made the statement he could be a number 3 starter. That's assuming a 12-team league. Get the calculator, 12 times 3.
36.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So I think that's the upside, though. So if we're doing it as a buy or sell, I'm selling it, but it is possible.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be particularly surprised either. The pine tar thing, whatever. I mean, it didn't help him throw 95 miles per hour. It didn't cause him to walk only, one batter?
Two
batters. That was always the thing that amazed me about him, is that kind of stuff straight out of the minors, how good his control was with it. And yeah, he seems to have picked up where he left off here 3 years later. So that's great.
Man,
I like him.
We're getting one vote for Rudy right now. Rudy's underrated. I vote Major League, but Rudy's underrated, people. Like, relax. It's not that much of a no contest. So what else from yesterday stood out to you? Do you remember? I think I definitely said it to Scott. I don't know if I said it to Al. I was not impressed with Danny Salazar's first start.
Yeah,
you said it on the podcast, I think.
I did?
Yeah.
They hit him really hard and just right at people, that Twins game last Friday. Last night he was bad. 3 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, and he allowed 2 home runs at the White Sox. I did make a point to watch the game. He's throwing like 95, but he's a guy who could throw like 98, right?
Sure. I mean, you know, topping out. Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember, I mean, look, it's April and it's cold, so
yeah.
I don't want to make
too
much of the velocity.
Yeah,
I
have no problems with the velocity. I have more problems with the command, because that's part of one of his calling cards, is that, you know, even kind of what Scott was just saying about Pineda, that as hard as he throws, that he's shown pretty good command and control, and he hasn't shown it in the first two starts. Now, giving up a couple of home runs at a start at Chicago is no surprise to me. That's part of the bargain with Salazar, and I think there's going to be lines throughout the season when he's in hitters' parks where he's going to give up 2-3 home runs and maybe 5 or 6 runs, and it's going to be ugly. But I think they're going to be the small minority. But if he continues to have problems locating, that's where I see a worry, and I'm not, you know, it's a like a 4 on the worryometer for me right now. But
Who do you think is going to be better this year, Pineda or Salazar?
So this is where I feel like I was low on Pineda, because that would have just been an instant Salazar for me a couple days ago, and now it's like, you know, I really it's like a push.
Yeah. You're really making me, like, because I don't want to have to go and then move Pineda up ahead of Salazar.
Yeah, we're
in my
busy
ranking.
Today. We don't want to change our ranking, so it's Salazar.
Salazar.
For that reason.
Yeah, I'm still, like, I this is not meant as a knock on Pineda in any way, but I'm still inclined to go Salazar.
You think he's a good buy low candidate then, Danny Salazar? People are frustrated. He just wasn't really. Yeah, I guess he was pretty good last year, 3.12 ERA. I just remember him being kind of up and down.
Well, I mean, he had some short starts. I think there were one or two starts where he wasn't quite as sharp, but pretty darn impressive.
Right, and a big reason why he was impressive was still in play in this start. 10 strikeouts in 3 2/3 innings. Yeah. There's not many pitchers who can do that. Obviously, you'd rather the runs be lower and the innings be higher and give up some strikeouts, but still, that just shows what kind of ability he has.
All right, what else?
And I'll go Salazar, too, for better reasons than I don't just want to change my rankings.
Yeah, well, you said that. You made that clear. All right, what else, guys? What else?
Well, I noticed, while you were noticing Salazar, I was noticing Clay Buchholz, because he got pounded his first start, and the velocity was lower for him, and it was an issue for him when he came back from injury last year and in the playoffs and everything. He was better this time. He was pretty good. Not great, pretty good. And the velocity, it was 89.7 in his first start, average fastball, 90.8 in this one. Still not where he was last year, but better. So that's still something. I'm reserving judgment, keeping an eye on that, because ultimately it'll probably have most of the say in how good he is this year.
Anything else, guys? Big stuff?
Jose Abreu is starting to look like even bigger stuff to me, because the power's there. It was a little bit slow to come around with that. Not too slow. We're still not done with week two. But he's only struck out 5 times so far.
3 walks.
That's really nice. I mean, if he can give us, 30-something home run power on top of, and I don't think he's going to – I don't expect him to maintain that strikeout rate. If he does, that's incredible. If he strikes out 20% or less of the time, that's going to put him into the first base elite, I think.
Justin Upton homered twice, Scott. That was good.
He did homer twice just the day after we talked about on Fantasy Baseball Today. Which one was he in? Was he in buy low or was he in?
He was in the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think.
No, what was that last segment we did?
Buy low, sell high. But I asked Al, is Justin Upton overrated?
I think he was in both. I think he was in both.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Al said, yeah, he's a little overrated. And these 2 home runs don't really change that.
But. I mean, it depends who you're asking, honestly, because I don't entirely disagree with that. I still see some people, their preseason rankings, they had him as a top 10 outfielder. And I think if you expect top 10 outfielder production from him, then yeah, he may be a little overrated. But top 15, top 20 outfield production, I think, should be the expectation for him, because he never really falls short of that.
All right. Cliff Lee has given up 29 hits in 18 innings. Is that a concern for you guys?
No, not at all. His last 2 starts have been really good. He has given up a lot of hits in those 2 starts, but he hasn't walked anybody. He's been getting strikeouts, not giving up extra base hits, and batting average against is the most volatile of all the things that you can look at.
All right,
for
then.
A pitcher or a hitter, so I'm not concerned at all.
The last guy I wanted to bring up was Dan Straley, who's 79% owned. We were the official fan club of Dan Straley last year, and he didn't really deliver. But so far, he's 1-1 with a 2.77 ERA, and he has 12 strikeouts in 13 innings and just 3 walks. Is he a little underrated, Dan Straley, 79% owned?
I don't think so, and I, being part of the official fan club of Dan Straley, I want to see him succeed. I'd like to see him do it against a team better than the Twins.
Well, Seattle.
I think after 2 good starts, knowing what kind of upside he has, he's a must-own now. and only 79% owned. Like, there's not a league I'm in where I would let him remain on the waiver wire. I don't think there's a league I'm in where he is on the waiver wire.
Right.
But 79%, if that's where we're gauging underrated or not, I would say he is.
Well, does he have the same type of potential as, like, the Skaggs and the Paxton group? And
I feel like he does.
I do, too.
All right. So maybe he's, you know, just keep that in mind.
Would
you rather have...
Yeah, still like him a little better than Skaggs.
Would you rather have him or Paxton? Straley or Paxton?
Before Paxton went on the DL, I would have said Paxton, but now that he's on the DL...
Really? He might only miss, like, two more starts.
Yeah, he
right?
might, but, I mean, it's close enough that that's reason for Straley to go ahead of him.
Yeah, and I'll even injury aside, yeah, I'll go Straley.
How about Straley or Dan Heron?
Yeah, I'd rather have Heron.
Gosh.
I'm asking tough ones today.
I kind of want to see what my rankings are currently reflecting.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Just have to hit R here.
I don't want to say something that I then feel like I'll be obligated to fix when
what does your gut say
into it in the first place. My gut says I'd rather have Straley.
Sorry, buddy. Your rankings say otherwise. I can check Roto if you'd like, but Heron is 15
well,
spots
ahead. Well,
that's
okay, because I'm more likely to move Straley up based on this start than move him down based on nothing but what I said on this podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah. Let's do some buy or sell here. Buy or sell from Nicholas. Buy or sell Jerko hitting below 250.
I'm selling that. I'm not buying the 290-300.
Yeah, I'm...
But...
I'm selling too. I kind of was thinking 260 at the beginning of the season. So, you know, he may be right below 250.
He may be crazy.
Also,
go ahead, finish it, Billy Joel fan.
Hey! You know what? I was going to do Billy Joel or Elton John, but I'm going to save that for next week.
All right.
And then I didn't finish the, but it just may be a lunatic. There we go.
All right.
Yeah, I think people had enough of me singing. Buy or sell, Welcome Back Cotter was based on Al's Classroom.
I am buying that.
Yeah?
For two reasons.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I'm old enough that the show could have come after my teaching. And no, that's actually not true. I'm selling that, but, you know, it's close. Anyway, and the other reason that I actually had, when I taught high school, I actually had a class that I thought of as the Sweat Hogs.
You know what? I'm sure that is a very funny joke, Scott.
It's not really a joke. It's just a reference from the show.
Yeah.
The Welcome Back Cotter class was called the Sweat Hawks.
Scott and I have never seen one episode of Welcome Back Cotter.
Oh, well, now you have a homework assignment.
I know
we'll
it's about
it
a
together.
Teacher in a classroom. That's the full extent of my knowledge.
I'll watch Three Amigos. You'll have another set on. You'll watch some Cotter reruns.
All right.
It's all good.
What did you call it a set, by the way?
TV set? Is that what?
Just TV, I think. I never.
I just told you I'm old.
Yeah.
I've heard it called the TV set before.
Yeah, I know, but
it's been a
we'll
while.
Put some music on the old Victrola. We'll have a good time.
Like, what made it a
we'll
set?
We'll watch some programs.
Yes. They don't call them that anymore.
Who is the main star of Welcome Back, Cotter?
Gabe Kaplan.
Who is another one?
Gabe Kapler?
No, yeah, it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Gabe Kaplan.
Okay.
Who I think went on to some fame playing poker.
Okay, but John Travolta was in it, right?
And John Travolta was in it. He ultimately became the biggest star.
I thought I was crazy there for a second. Thomas Schuffman says, buy or sell, Yasiel Puig gets 500 at-bats this year. 500 at-bats for Puig.
I buy.
I will, too.
Buy or sell from Tim Kimmel. Anthony Rendon plays at least 10 games at third base. Ends the season as the top 12.
In both
second and third. That must be first base and third base points per game.
What? No. Second
oh,
and third.
Rendon. I don't know why I'm thinking Rizzo. It didn't make any sense to me. Anthony Rendon ends up as a top 12 second baseman and third baseman.
Well, even though I'm not going to adjust my rankings yet to put him in the top 12, I kind of want to buy this. I like his upside. I like the start he's off to, and I think the 10 games at third base is a slam dunk. It only needs to be 5 in CBS leagues, by the way.
Yet another side, Scott, that you and I spend way too much time together, because I could have said the exact same thing word for word.
Let's see. Buy or sell from Jim Crimmins, right after Tim Kimmel. It's getting weird. Xander Bogaerts hits 15 home runs, scores 70 runs, and drives in 70.
I think I'm willing to buy that, too. I like the plate discipline he's shown to start the year. They think the power... might not be there at the very beginning, but it'll come around during the season, and I could see him getting there.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it. And again, all the things, Scott, that you just said, I do agree with, but I have a sense that the run production, I'll buy the 15 home runs, but the run production will fall a little short.
Next up, from W.C. Thompson, buy or sell, by the end of the season, Taiwan Walker will be the top keeper pitcher in the AL West.
I love these divisional questions.
That's a weird AL West only league.
Yeah, Felix Hernandez still pitches there, but I don't know. Is it like based on where you might have drafted him?
Top keeper pitcher.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, I'll assume maybe rookie slash prospect status.
I don't know. Best draft value.
Yeah, I don't know what the question is. I'm going to interpret it my own way. So let's see. And top keeper pitcher in the AL West. Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
He's the most talented rookie pitcher in the AL West. So I'll buy that. There's so many ways to interpret keepers that I'll sell that statement. Honestly, I could see Skaggs being a better keeper just based on you paid nothing for him and you probably paid something for Walker in a keeper league.
Yeah. All right, Riley Gula says, buy or sell, Brandon Morrow becomes mixed league viable.
Already buying that.
Yep, buy.
Oh, I'm pumping the brakes. I am pumping the brakes, and I am selling that.
Look, it's only viable, Adam.
Right.
It's not must-start guy.
Well, then, like, there are so many guys who are mixed league viable, so
yeah.
So I want to make that, okay.
But how many mixed leagues did he get drafted in?
I will say this.
So I don't feel like it's just a throwaway question.
No, it's not. I'm just disagreeing with it. Because he's had one good start against Houston,
yeah.
So I will say.
Well, in a pretty.
I will say this.
Good history.
Buy or sell? Not really, though. One.
Not
good
as
season.
Good as we want it to be, but
the only thing that's been good really has been
signs.
the strikeouts, really, right? But he hasn't been able to put it together.
Yeah.
I'll change the question. Buy or
change
sell?
It.
Brandon Morrow is one start. Is like a one-start guy. Because, like, yeah, a two-start week, almost everyone is viable. But if it's just a one-start week, are you really looking at Brandon Morrow in a mixed league?
Not yet.
Not yet. And if I'm expecting to at some point, I would sell that also. So brakes are pumped.
It seems like he was a guy that you guys saw that performance and said, maybe I'll go pick him up.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe. I wasn't there, but you guys are?
Yeah, and in fact, I did pick him up in one league.
I mean, I'm not picking him up over Straley or Skaggs or.
I think I asked you this yesterday, but what about Bauer?
Well, Bauer. Did we ever find out what happened to Bauer? He got sent back down, didn't he?
I didn't see anything. I did look.
Why is there nothing on this?
I don't know. That's weird. Maybe there's a move, you know, before today's game or something. But
yeah. Oh, they were off yesterday?
I think they were. I'm
almost positive.
They're
not. No, they weren't.
Salazar. Oh, they're Salazar. You're right. You're right. And yeah, so I think, yeah, there had to be a transaction.
Nah, assuming Bauer went back down, I'm picking him out. Morrow.
If he stayed up.
Well, Pestana was sent down.
After the game? No, I think
no,
he was
before,
sent,
right?
Yeah. So, you know, that said, I mean, look, if he's still up with the team, that might change things a little bit for me. But I still need to see some sort of indication that he's going to stay in the rotation to even put him in the same discussion with Brandon Morrow. So they did, huh?
Well,
Chisenhall went on paternity leave, but they also called up Justin Sellers. Oh no, Bauer was returned.
Okay,
I just found it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what would be the answer then? You go Morrow over Bauer
easily? Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying easily, but I would. Yeah.
Gord Henderson, buy or sell. Chris Tillman has a better fantasy season than John Lester.
I'm selling it, but I'm looking at it as being a much closer contest than I did before opening day.
I thought it might be a pretty close contest. So, good for me, but I'm also selling it.
Why have you changed on that?
Tillman's looked good so far.
Okay.
And, you know, I think Scott made some good points when I know you had him on, what,
so
breakout list?
So callously ignored.
Yeah. So
I actually had him on sleepers.
Had what?
Sleepers,
he had two starts, and one of them wasn't so good. He went innings in the first one.
Yeah, he's looked better than I expected him to. You know, and as I was starting to say, Scott made some good points about him kind of surging and breaking out in the second half. I still worry about the home run potential with Tillman. He doesn't have Salazar's upside to offset that. But right. But it's closer. It's closer.
All right, Anthony Bartolucci says, buy or sell, Irvin Santana is a top 36 starting pitcher in Roto rest of
Roto.
Season.
I'm selling it in any format.
I would sell it in any format, too, but I wouldn't be surprised if he came pretty close in head-to-head points just because of all the innings he pitches.
Tony Jarvis, buy or sell, Casey McGee is a legitimate fantasy option at first base this year.
Selling it big time, but you know, much more interest there at third base. And realistically in a corner infield slot, but all not right. at first base.
Spoiler alert, he's the sit at first base in the weekly start sit hitters column, which
I'm not even going to read it now,
love
Scott.
That name. It rolls off the tongue.
If you're playing him at first base.
You just lost a click.
You better be in a deep league.
Because that's spoiler.
Howard West, Homer Bailey gets it together and has an ERA under 350 and 180 strikeouts. Buy or sell?
Buy.
I also buy.
Brian Durthick, buy or sell the fact that Azer was starting to come around on Josh Hamilton.
As at not somebody who hears Azer's thoughts off the air, I can sell that with 100% confidence. He hated having Josh Hamilton.
Sure did. And this is exactly why.
He talked about it every day. He talked about it every day. Now he doesn't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I'm selling that. I was not coming around on Josh Hamilton. Were you guys?
A little bit. Moved him up. I moved him up a good four or five spots in my outfield rankings.
Even when he was a great player, he was really streaky.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I was buying that he could be better than I thought. But I wasn't buying that I was excited to have him on my team. Fantasy Sasquatch says buy or sell Nick Castellanos AL Rookie of the Year.
All right.
This race is all almost right. over right now.
Yeah. I mean, based on what we said at the top about Jose Abreu and then Tanaka is lighting it up. I think.
And
I mean,
George Springer's still coming, too. I think he's I think he'll be in the discussion.
It's a great crop of rookies this year in the AL.
And Castellanos won't be at the top of them.
Paxton, rookie? Right?
No.
No?
He is a rookie. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, he is a rookie. I was saying no to him being in the rookie.
No, I'm just saying great crop of rookies in the AL this year. Because, because two of them are Tanaka and Abreu,
which
not
is
true rookies.
Kind of cheap, but it's, never stopped people from voting for them before.
Do you remember who won the Rookie of the Year over Matsui? It was a travesty.
Hideki Matsui. Who won? What year was that? 2004. Four,
you
three,
can't see my computer, can you? Because I'm going to Google it just to make sure.
Okay. I think I know who it is.
Who do you think?
Hinsky?
No.
No, he was a couple years before.
But he was a rookie with the Blue Jays, right?
He was.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I had the right league. Yeah.
My computer is so slow right now, probably because I Travoltified your names. Scott, you're Stuart Waite. Al, you're Abby Machim. And I'm Ailsa Alorn. So hopefully if I get rid of this website, my computer will start running.
Oh, man. Who won Rookie of the Year over Hideki Matsui? Was it a closer?
No, it was, a shortstop.
Oh. Angel Barroa? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Angel Barroa.
Yeah.
He won Rookie of the Year?
I'm almost positive about
blocked
that.
Blocked that out. That is a travesty.
And it may have been the same year, wasn't it? Oh, I'm not sure I even have the name right. Jason Jennings, is that right? Didn't that Rockies pitcher win Rookie of the Year?
I think he did, yeah.
Angel Barroa was the Rookie of the Year.
I completely do not remember that. That's wild.
All right, let's move on. I think that might have been 01, Scott.
Angel Barroa.
Couldn't have been
01. I wasn't that early. I was in college.
Said he was on the Royals.
So what year did Hinsky win?
I don't know. I'll find out in 1 second. Tell me if these guys have mixed league potential. Cincinnati outfielder Ryan Ludwig, 17% owned. Let's go through these fairly quickly, guys.
He does. He does. He's been before.
Okay.
Yeah, potential, but I'm not adding him there.
Yeah.
Texas D. See, I'm like in a five outfielder league in those roto leagues. I feel like he should be owned.
17 seems really low, but he's a ways off from that, I think.
Okay.
He might be in the Lucas Duda category, I guess.
Let's see. We got Mitch Moreland, 25% owned, Texas DH.
Yeah, not quite, I think.
Yeah, he's short.
Hinsky was 2002. Barroa was 2003. Jason Jennings was 2002. Dontrell Willis was 2003 in the NL. Jackie Bradley.
I'm going to say yes. I have to say yes because I just picked him up in one this week.
All right. He looks like a pretty good, really good fielder. And I think it's plausible that he overcomes Sizemore.
I have questions about his upside because he was so good at the minors 2 years ago that I thought, like, all right, this is an all-star caliber player when he gets to the big leagues. And then AAA, his performance at AAA caused me to take a closer look, and he's not a big-time base stealer, and I don't know. He'll have to hit a lot of doubles and triples and, like, a Victorino-type power hitter, I think, to be more than, like, a fifth outfielder. But in a five-outfielder league, I could see taking a shot on him.
And by the way, I think there's room for him and Sizemore, and there has been discussion about him replacing Nava.
Really?
So, yeah, really.
Who homered yesterday. All right, Pittsburgh outfielder Travis Snyder, 3% owned.
No.
I'd rather have D. Snyder in my outfield.
Toronto second baseman Meiser Asturias, just like
no.
Snyder batting second.
No.
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 Cleveland third baseman Mike Avilas.
No.
No, if he played every day, maybe, but he doesn't.
Colorado second baseman DJ LeMahieu.
Maybe if you get in trouble there in the middle infield, you could... I just know there's a league where
you can
where
clip
I'm,
that, right?
You that reminded me of Family Guy when Stewie's like, "You been working on that novel?"
Yeah,
that was good
yeah.
Stuff.
You've used that one before,
really?
Yeah, very the Arsenal Azer.
I think I might have used the Travoltified names before too.
Yes,
did I?
I don't
yes.
remember that.
I have a terrible memory.
I don't remember hearing ours though.
I have a worse memory, and I didn't remember Angel Peroa. So
there you go.
You remember Jason Jennings? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he did nothing after that.
There's something there.
How about Jason Kubel?
I don't think so. Nah.
Well, they'll get Willingham back eventually.
And
you know, I could see him becoming mixed league viable because it wasn't long ago he was. But he'll have to really make an impression here with Arcia out. And I'm certainly not doing anything about him yet.
Bill Purcell on Twitter wants to know, is Gerardo Parra under-owned at 25%?
No, I don't. I mean, maybe a little. He's a guy who I can't really see using in a roto league because steals, home runs. I mean, he's not for sure going to give you double digits of either. So that holds him back there. He has more points value, but he's not to like the Michael Brantley range. So it's close to appropriate.
Okay. How about these three pitchers? Tom Kohler, John Danks, or Dallas Keuchel?
Well, no, what's the percentage on... I'm Keuchel.
I didn't even look it up because I figured it's so low.
So we're talking mixed league potential or just over-owned to under-owned generally? Because I don't think any of them are even close to mixed league.
Mixed league?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kohler's 4% owned, and I think he has to be owned in NL-only league.
Yeah, that is too low.
So he's under-owned but not mixed league potential.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
we said a different answer, but we meant the same thing.
Yeah.
Eric Young Jr., 25% owned.
Yeah, definitely. I've been saying this for a while now. Even before he got any of these five steals, I think I was saying that. He's kind of a poor man's Billy Hamilton, quite honestly. When it's not always a sure thing he's going to get on base, but when he does, he's sure to run and can pile up points pretty quickly, and obviously pile up steals in the roto leagues where he's more valuable pretty quickly.
Five runs, five steals in three games. Marcelo Zuna, 28% owned. Has a five-game hitting streak, one hit per game, and two home runs.
Well, he's under-owned to 28%. I think he still falls a little short of mixed league viable right now.
Like five outfielder league?
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't see. I mean.
I think I'd add him over Bradley, though, if we're.
I'm trying to remember if he was out there when I got Bradley, and I'm almost sure he was. So it's very close, but I think I would slightly prefer Bradley.
What about Ludwig?
I think unless power specifically was something that I thought I was short of, I would go with the two young guys over him.
All right, then. I'll agree.
Yes.
Three up, two down, rotation, bullpen stuff, more news, hitting planner, pitching planner, and emails. 15 minutes. Let's do it. Pedro Alvarez homered again. He has five home runs. Any chance he's a different player this year, or is he still just low batting average?
What's he batting now? 220?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They say he's hitting the ball really well, though.
Nah.
Yeah. It's hard when he hits it.
Yeah.
Same guy. Jonathan Villar, 53% owned. He's got two home runs. He hit one last year. So there's that. Anybody encouraged by Jonathan Villar?
Not especially. I figured he had a little bit more power than what he showed when he was up last year, but not enough to really boost his value.
Villar or Owings?
Owings.
I agree.
Villar or Jeter?
And Roto Villar, head-to-head Jeter.
What Scott said.
Melky Cabrera doubled twice.
Yeah, I find that very encouraging because he's already gone on the home run binge, but that's not really what he's known for. He's known for the doubles power for the 2 years that he was really good. And
yeah.
I figured they were coming. Rogers Center's actually been a really good doubles park, which surprised me a little bit. So I don't think that just because he's with the Blue Jays, he's going to stop hitting doubles.
I was surprised to learn when I was doing the research, because Thursday's basically my research for this hitter column, research day. I was surprised to learn Melky Cabrera is not only already owned in 85% of leagues, but he started in like 75% of leagues. So I don't know that we really need to talk him up anymore. Everybody's all over him.
But we should probably put it in a perspective like, are people too high on him?
Well, see, I don't know that I want to go there yet, because I think there's definitely reason to be encouraged, and I don't want to like, If he was out there in any of my leagues, I'd pick him up too. It's not a sure thing yet. I'm not calling him a must start this week or anything like that. But I think he does need to be owned, knowing how good he could be.
He is basically this week's Justin Smoke, and Smoke kind of cooled off. Not just in terms of the hype and the production and the most added.
Yeah.
Thing. So who do you think? Who would you rather own?
I would rather own Melky.
I would too, because in Smoke's situation, I mean, we've seen short spurts from him before, and it's never amounted to anything.
We've seen the longer ones from Melky, and sure, you could say, all right, let's see what he does off PEDs with the tumor removed. But I don't know. I was a believer going into last year, and I think there's a chance that he gets back to the level he was 2 years ago.
I'm wondering if the PEDs... I don't know if I should even bring this up, but it's not like these guys are injecting themselves with the same stuff that was being used in like the steroids heyday, where they're huge. You know, like the doping has changed,
right?
And I wonder if it doesn't have as much of an effect as it used to. You know, because so far, the PED guys are still doing well in a lot of cases. Like, well, I don't know about Braun; it's too early to tell. But
it's too early to tell.
He looks
all
like
them.
He still has the skills. You know, same with Everett Cabrera,
and Melky Nelson
Cabrera,
Cruz, yeah.
And Nelson Cruz. So. I don't know.
Cologne.
We haven't seen anything in the first week and a half that suggests that these guys are going to fall off.
And let me just bring one thing up with Melky. He's an outfielder who doesn't really steal a lot of bases, right?
Right. I need some.
And he's a leadoff hitter, so I don't know if he's going to drive in a lot of runs. I also don't know if he's going to hit a lot of homers, despite what we've seen. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
he might have better real-life value than fantasy value.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but yeah, not significantly. And just to get back to the home run point, yeah, he has never really hit a lot of home runs. But the two breakout years, he was playing in AT&T Park and in Kauffman Stadium.
Yeah.
And he had crazy power splits. He was looking like a 25 homer guy on the road.
Okay. Well, if he hits 25 home runs.
20 to 25.
Would you say he's more valuable in a points league than a roto league?
Yeah, I would.
I would, but not like hugely different.
Because the doubles and the low strikeout rate, yeah.
Two down. Andrew McCutchen went 0-for-3. He's batting .212. Anyone concerned?
No.
None.
And Brett Laurie, is he droppable? 75% owned.
A lot of people have asked me this, yeah. in a points league where 21-man rosters and you like using all your bench spots for pitchers like I do, and you have a third baseman you trust more than him, I think he is droppable. But for the majority of leagues, I'd stick with him. There's just not enough third baseman out there with his kind of potential.
I agree with that completely.
Okay. Rotation time. Anybody want to talk about Henry Mejia, Travis Wood, Estrada, Strasburg, Cole, or Dickey?
Well, I found that a really encouraging start for Estrada. And maybe I shouldn't take too much, because I just don't think the Phillies lineup is very good this year. But I do worry about him in tough ballparks and survive that with a nice line. So with a two-start week coming up, I would rank him a little bit higher if he weren't facing the Cardinals at Miller Park. I still have a little bit of hesitation on Estrada, but this encourages me a little bit.
So Mejia and Wood are owning about the same amount of leagues. Who would you rather have?
Are you down on Mejia at all, Al, with the heavy or high walk, back-to-back high walk starts?
A little bit. I mean, not anything to, drop him or anything yet. There is a league where I've got him on my bench where I'm considering activating him next week, and I probably won't, and this isn't, helping me change my mind about that.
Because when he did look good at the end of the last season, he wasn't walking, guys. But he does have a history of walks in the minors. He gave up the two home runs to Justin Upton yesterday. One of them was just a,
Did you see
blast.
His reaction?
No.
But he, threw his glove, went not nuts, but got really angry. More animated than you pretty much will ever see a pitch. It was funny. But, yeah,
it wasn't the
he
long
hit that
one.
Ball like 480 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a contender for longest home run this season.
I think it's probably not as long as Stanton's.
That was, 44 was Stanton's. So
444?
484.
484, okay. Right, yeah. They were right, very close.
Yeah, they might both. I would expect both to be in the top 10. but anyway, I wasn't as high on Mejia's to begin with, so this just kind of confirms my concerns, I guess. Still behind like Skaggs and all that group.
Let's rank these four: Harang, Evaldi, Travis Wood, Henry Mejia.
I go, and Al's going to disagree completely, I think, but Wood, Evaldi, Mejia, and whoever the
Harang.
Fourth guy was, Harang.
Yep, you're right. I'm going to leapfrog Mejia to the top, and otherwise my rankings are the same. So Wood, Evaldi, Harang.
Okay, easy enough to remember. And just one note on the R.A. Dickey start. The Houston Astros have a broadcaster who is a former knuckleballer.
Steve Sparks.
Yep. He threw them BP, and they said it helped a lot.
Yeah, I think Dickey said he had a really good knuckleball.
An awesome story. I didn't see that.
Yeah, and Dickey was doing fine until that seventh inning when he gave up. I think that was when VR hit the three-run homer, and Dickey ended up giving up five runs in seven innings. So if you like Dickey, that's a reason to be encouraged. Anything out of the bullpen yesterday? David Phelps got a save. Sean Kelly was unavailable. K-Rod and Valverde got saves. Josh Field struggled, and Anthony Bass came in and got the save. And Jason Grilli struggled again, but got his third save. But he loaded the bases.
Nothing here, but I just want to talk real quick about Tyler Thornburg, because he's been phenomenal so far, and I'm not saying that he's going to take the job from K-Rod or keep Henderson from getting it back. Maybe it means he just positions himself well to get in the rotation at some point, but it bears watching, because he's been...
Yeah, I picked him up in our Dynasty League, 24 teams head-to-head, off the waiver wire as a potential $1 keeper next year. For that reason, him, Drew Pomeranz, and Brad Peacock, I have all three. Those are guys I see with the potential to enter the rotation and to make an impact once they get there. So that's something to keep in mind.
And he does give the Brewers another closer option. And again, that's highly, highly speculative. I'm not sure I really believe that that's going to happen this year. But again, just watch what happens there.
Running through the rest of the injuries, news, and notes. Avisail Garcia out for the year. Chicago acquired Gorkys Hernandez from Kansas City for cash, but it would appear Diaza and Vicieta would be the corner outfielders.
Gorkys
right?
Hernandez is the guy who could not cut it with the Marlins last year when they had nobody.
So Diaza, Vicieta?
Yeah.
In the corners. Adrian Beltre will not go on the DL yet due to the quad injury. Not as bad as initially feared, but could still end up on the DL. Andrelton Simmons day-to-day with a wrist injury. Ramiro Pena started in his place yesterday. Oakland shortstop prospect Addison Russell tore his hamstring. He's going to be out at least a month. Michael Bourne will likely be back April 15th. Let's see. Grady Sizemore led off, started in center field yesterday, or in left field with Jackie Bradley in center field. John Farrell talked about the Yankee Stadium dimensions, whatever. Byron Buxton likely won't start playing until May. Ike Davis started at first base, but Terry Collins says Lucas Duda is still the starter.
Then start him, for crying out loud.
David Wright's been sick, so has Sergio Romo. Romo hasn't pitched much lately. Wright's been kind of struggling. David Hale struggled for the Mets. Is that good news? Or struggled for the Braves against the Mets. Is that good news for Harang? And Randall Delgado struggled for the Diamondbacks. Is that good news for Archie Bradley?
I'm not going to say what mistake you made in the notes there. But
I did it twice. I wrote Tyler Skaggs instead of Archie Bradley.
Yeah. I would say yes to both of those questions.
I went looking for Archie Bradley in all my leagues, and he's owned in all but one.
And you know who I went looking for?
Who?
Josh Colemanter.
Oh.
And I mean, and Gibson came out and said that they're really looking at him in the rotation. So I think we see him before Bradley.
But it could be both.
Yeah, because Cahill was the guy they were talking about replacing before.
Yeah, you're right.
And then obviously Brandon McCarthy has an injury history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coco Crisp has been out three straight games. Hopefully he'll be back today. And Gene Segura, 3-for-6 in stolen base attempts prior to 2014. In his career, Segura was 51-for-65. So let's pick it up a little, Gene Segura.
Back to David Hill, just for a real quick second. And, yeah, I think it's good news for Harang. He may not be in the rotation more than another week. But next week he should get a start against the Mets. And the Mets have been striking out at a higher rate than the Astros. So
who might not be in the rotation for another week?
David Hale.
Oh.
Hale will get a start against the Mets next week?
Looks like it, yeah.
That's who this start was against, though.
And he'll
hopefully do better.
Do better, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good point, yeah.
Okay, hitting planner, pitching planner, tell me what we need to know. If you can do it in 5 minutes, that'd be great, and we can read emails.
Okay, I will rattle off the best and worst matchups. Does that work?
Yeah.
Mariners have the best matchup, so maybe time to start Smoke again. Corey Hart, I'd say, also is a possibility. The Royals, I like Aoki a lot this week. He's been hot.
Moustakas?
And Moustakas, yes. He's not my start at third base. Kyle Seager is for the Mariners. Great history at Texas, too, which is where they play four games. But, yeah, Moustakas might be a if you can justify getting him in your lineup, it might be worth it. Rangers have the third best matchups. Padres the fourth best. Braves the fifth best, though there's not many sleepers on their team. The five worst matchups, I go the Cubs because they're only playing five games. So as hot as Emilio Bonifacio's been, if you have a good second baseman otherwise, might want to consider benching him. The Nationals have the second worst matchups, then the Cardinals, the Twins, and the Orioles.
All right.
Wow. With minutes to spare.
Let's see some two-star pitchers here.
All right. Because I just rattle off some of interest here.
Yeah. And listen, guys, not you two, but listen, guys and girls out there, The start sit columns are going to be up on the website, so I encourage you to go check those out. Yeah, go ahead,
hey,
Al.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know that anybody at this point is really sweating whether or not to sit your Donna Ventura, but I've got him as one of the top 10 two-star pitchers this week at Houston versus Twins. Enjoy. all right, Irvin Santana, two starts this week at Philadelphia, at Mets. Nice matchups, so I think he's going to keep rolling on. Shelby Miller's not been good, but I think you got to still roll with him.
What about Wheeler?
And Wheeler I've got in the top 10 also.
Really?
I've got him as a must-start, two-start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Miller, you know, I think you keep going with him. I've already talked about Estrada, and I've also got Garza and Lynn as must-start, two-starts. Then getting with kind of the more borderline guys, Brandon Morrow at Minnesota, at Cleveland, pretty decent matchups there, plus the good start. I like him. Robbie Erlin, I think he can start in standard mixed leagues this week. Great matchups versus Colorado and San Francisco at home. I picked up Phil Hughes in our podcast listeners league. I like the matchups. I've got to put my money where my mouth is.
Better you than
you
me.
Will regret it.
At home versus the Blue Jays. At Kansas City, I'm a little nervously willing to take the flyer there.
Would you go Hughes or Odorizzi at Baltimore, home against the Yankees?
I've got Odorizzi ranked one ahead of Hughes.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
The Odorizzi is kind of a tough call.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is where it starts to get borderline. Odorizzi, Hughes. Bronson Arroyo normally I would say is pretty solid as a two-start option, but he's really not had his usual control. But he does get the aforementioned Mets. I think that'll help him out. And should give you a little bit of confidence to pick Arroyo up. And finally, I think it's a week where if you really want to get an extra start, don't go out of your way. Don't drop or bench anybody useful. But Jesse Chavez at the Angels, good ballpark, and home versus the Astros.
Nice.
So I actually did pick up Chavez in a league. And, you know, like I said, if you want to just jam an extra start in your rotation without at much cost, pick Chavez up.
Would you go a one-start Danny Salazar? Let me see who his matchup would be against. He pitched yesterday, so we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. At Detroit. Or a two-start Tim Lincecum.
Oh, Salazar. I didn't even include Lincecum in the borderline starts this week.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm not encouraging people to drop him. But, yeah, this is not the time. A lot of good options there. So, you know, keep Lincecum stashed.
And by the way, it was a landslide, Major League One. So on Monday, we'll talk best sports movie ever and see what people have to say. Let's spend some time on some
emails. It is a baseball podcast.
Yeah, but I got football followers too, so I figured kind of be even.
That's true. They're not actually listening. They're just seeing your tweet.
Jason says, hey, Pulsifer, Isringhausen, and Wilson.
Oh, you're shaking your head?
No, he's a Yankee fan, so what's he know?
I know
those,
Isringhausen.
Those were the Mets' big three in the mid-90s.
I really thought you were kidding.
No,
Paul Wilson and Bill Pulsifer. Yep. Jason Isringhausen.
Didn't work out. That's right. No. Yeah. I just discovered the podcast a few months ago. I listen every day while driving to work and transporting my five-month daughter to her grandmother's house. I'm a little afraid my little girl's first word will be SPARP, but that's the sacrifice I have to make. Anyway, I have two questions for you. Can you grade the trade in a 10-team mixed categories league? I give up Sonny Gray and Marlon Byrd. I get Matt Kemp. And to repeat that for Scott, that means that I am trading away Gray and Byrd and getting Kemp in return.
That's right. a B All for right. me.
I don't like it as much, but I don't like Kemp as much.
Oh, that's it.
I will say you won the trade, though. I'll go B minus.
I go B plus. My second question is more in general. Do you think it's a good strategy to trade away pitching for hitting at this point in the season, figuring I'll be able to get more arms than bats
yes.
on the waiver wire?
I like the way this guy thinks.
I do, too. I agree.
Especially in a 10-team league.
Yes.
Let's see. Tom from Overland Park, Kansas. Hello, Sterling, Lana, and Ray.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, it's not like a trio of pitchers here. Sterling Hitchcock.
Lana Strasburg.
I'm a happy owner of Ian Desmond, but can't for the life of me understand why the Nats bat him 6th or 7th in the lineup. Since he'll see less at-bats and potentially less counting stats, would you trade a guy like that for a similar type player who bats higher in the order, or just wait and hope the manager has an epiphany and moves him
nah,
up?
Nice. He's going to be fine there. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. Right. And honestly, I think with his skill set, it makes sense to bat him there. I don't question the manager. He's not a good on-base guy. He's a good power guy. And he steals bases, which I like batting lower in the order myself. So that's just an aside.
They have a good lineup, so he'll have plenty of RBI opportunities.
Yeah, well, it's more the run opportunities, but he'll get those too.
And you're right. And he hit a grand slam yesterday, so that's good. Risto in ATX. Dear Spackler, McCracken, and St. Clair. So is that Bill Murray characters?
Oh, it must be.
Spackler is what? Yeah. Caddyshack?
Well, no, because that's...
The hell is Spackler?
Carl, yeah, I'm drunk because it's Carl Spackler, yeah.
Yeah, is that Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Okay, and McCracken is Big Earn from Kingpin. I don't know who St. Clair is. Okay. Here's the question. Miguel Montero or Yan Gomes, 10-team league, Roto?
Yan Gomes.
Agree.
Brian Dozier, Brad Miller, or Chris Owings?
Answer is always Brad Miller.
Yeah, I agree.
Mark from
I like Dozier, but yeah.
New Jersey. Grade the trade.
Matawan, just reminding you.
Thank you. I give up Jose Altuve and Michael Pineda. I get Jose Fernandez.
Oh, that is... That is an A. I'll go A plus.
I'll go A.
Aaron from Queens. 12-team mixed head-to-head points league. I drafted Dan Heron in the later rounds as my fourth starting pitcher. Should I look to trade him or hold on to him and hope he can have a strong year?
I can understand the urge to trade high, but I think he'll continue to be good, so I'd hang on.
Yeah. And finally, from Joshua Smith, who do you think is better long-term, Irvin Santana or Trevor Bauer? I'm leaning Bauer.
Long term,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm taking that as rest of season.
Me too.
I mean, if we're talking,
okay.
You know, dynasty league. Yeah. Then you had Bauer, but
yeah, I'm definitely saying Santana. Then if it's rest of season,
I am too. But I can't. I'm amazing myself by even thinking about it. It could be close.
Hal amazes himself every day. He's that good.
All right, thanks, guys. Watch our video show. We'll see you at noon Eastern. Have a great weekend. Next podcast is Monday with Scott and Big Herc. See you later.